You are listening to Talking Impact Investing podcast show, and I'm your host, Matej Suchets. Today's episode is brought to you by the Business Department of Rollins College. In this podcast, you will hear unique insights from the industry leaders and upcoming stars on various topics, from sustainability to social responsibility. Impact-driven entrepreneurs and investors on this show will help you expand your knowledge on modern ESG practices and impact investing. Are you ready? Without further ado, let's dive in the episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Talking Impact Investing. And I'm excited for today because I'm joined by Serge Albino, who's a former engineer at NASA and the CEO as well as co-founder of EcoSpheres, an impact venture that provides clean tech solutions, destroying contaminants from sediments and groundwater. Serge is also a Rollins alum. He graduated from Cramer School of Business in 2010.
And I'm glad that he's here with us. Serge, welcome.
Thank you.
So to begin with, I'd like to hear more about your background and where did you find your passion towards improving our environment?
Yeah, I think the I've always been an avid, person that loves to go fishing and enjoy the wilderness, enjoy the outdoors. And when it comes down to how that intertwined into my career, it just kind of just happened serendipitously. When I initially was a mentor for the Rollins NASA Scholar Distinction Program, where the technology of spheres came in as one of the technology that we are evaluating to license or to match with a group from Rollins. From there, it just basically led to, the realization that the environment and the environmental industry is quite a bit of opportunities there, and understanding that the lack of true solutions made for this spheres technology, one that was what we call in the industry, would have a lot of legs to actually make an impact. So that's what we started off with. So I was never really in the environmental sector prior to EcoSpheres. I was more in the aerospace and mechanical engineering sector, and it just kind of happened out of the blue.
Perfect. So now, can you tell us more about the company, EcoSpheres? How did the idea for that begin, and what do you do? What solutions you provide now?
Yeah, so EcoSpheres is a clean tech venture that's focused on developing true environmental cleanup solutions to eliminate and destroy contamination, chemical contamination like PCBs and dioxins from our environment. Our namesake, Spheres, or where we get our company name EcoSpheres, comes from the Spheres technology, which stands for Sorbent Polymer Extraction and Remediation System. And it's basically a technology that we already started our business with, where we take this mats of plastic spikes with alcohol reagent inside, and we press it into the sediment, and it absorbs and collects the contaminants from the environment, from the sediments. And then we finally remove it and process those contamination for chemical dehalogenation or UV destruction.
And for how long would the spikes stay in the sediment?
It's really dependent on what their starting concentration are and what the remedial goals are at. The spheres is, since it's a very passive, in situ approach to solving the 50, 60 year problem, it's a longer time frame to deploy. And the higher the concentration, the faster it works, the lower the concentration, the slower it works. And it could be, 2 years to or more that the spheres technology will be deployed, depending on the application.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that solutions like that exist. And maybe to give our listeners a better context, so how is EcoSpheres different than, let's say, your competitors or solutions prior to what you offer?
Yeah, so EcoSpheres is, again, it's a clean tech elimination company of these environmental chemical contaminants, right? So if you look at our competitors or the industry today, per EPA, the only approved method of destroying or eliminating chemical contamination in our environment is to incinerate it, to burn it. And when you incinerate or burn, right away, you're thinking of high cost because you're burning a lot of energy. And in addition to that, there's a lot of greenhouse gas that's going to be emitted. So you're really, you're doing environmental cleanup on chemical contamination from soil, but yet you're now contaminating the air in a much bigger way than what was originally in the soil. So to us, that approach was never sustainable, right? Our approach and where we're different is we use sustainable technology solutions that would actually destroy these contaminants instead of incinerating it. So we have a UV destructive capability as well as we have a chemical destruction capability also. But we also have other technologies underneath that one, because before you could just, you know, destroy it, you actually have to extract it first. So you have to extract it from the soil, you have to extract it from the sediments, or you have to extract it from water. So we have the technology to not only destroy it, but also to extract it.
Great presentation. I think everybody is going to get a good view of how this works, because it's hard to imagine. And hopefully everybody can check our social media. I'll upload the video when you showed me the bikes. It's pretty interesting. Now I'd like to shift more about to your experience as an entrepreneur. What have you learned? Because basically you started the company from the ground. What were the biggest takeaways for you?
It's always twice as long and costs twice as more. And then when you have something like COVID happen, thank God we were blessed that COVID did not negatively impact our business. It actually, we actually gained a few more contracts than we anticipated during 2020, because all of our clients and the regulators were forced to stay home instead of being out in the field and draft contracts. So we were not so negatively impacted with COVID like a lot of folks that's out there. But yeah, it's you always want to plan when you're building a startup. You know, best laid plan is great. And then you also have to plan for, you know, the moment you put the shovel in the ground, everything changes, right? So the only thing that's true about a forecast is that it's always wrong. So you just want to plan accordingly.
Perfect. Also, because the show is called Talking Impact Investing, could you tell us more, how did you prepare for the process of raising money? So from your perspective of an entrepreneur, what did you take into account and what did actually matter for the investors in the end?
Yeah, so how we prepared as a company, my previous company, we bootstrapped it. And so when my co-founder bootstrapped his prior company also, and this is the first venture that we had where we actually raised capital for it right away. So my advice when it comes to raising capital is have good sets of mentors that are not only very knowledgeable about private equity investment, but also have a good head on their shoulders as venture capital investors as well, because private equity folks are typically much more conservative when it comes to investments. They want to see ROI. You want to see they're building the model from the bottom up, whereas venture capital wants to plan for growth and opportunities, so they build it from the top down. So you want to be somewhere in the middle. And you know, in the investment side, this is where we were really blessed to have Terrence Berland and David Scalzo. You know, that's part of that are the founders of Kirinaga Private Equity Ventures. That was not only our lead investors, but were also our mentors first. So they educated us really on in the investment side of things, so that Ian and I could run faster as founders, because, you know, when you're building a startup, typically 80% of a CEO's job is to raise capital. By having partners like true investor partners like Kiranaga, like Terry and Dave, it allowed for my time and for Ian's time to be freed up to actually run the business and build the business rather than raise capital for it, or just raise capital for it. So, but that's on the cap raise side. There's also another set of investors that are impact type of investors. And we brought in a few impact investors from the beginning. We didn't really know too much of it when we first started until we became part of the Catapult Ocean Accelerator program based out in Oslo, Norway, where we truly got a realization of what impact investment is all about, because Europe is just so far ahead, really, of the game when it comes to impact investor. And everything that's considered impact typically tiers up, or should tier up, to one or a few of the sustainability development goals by the United Nations. Those are the goals, the world goals that or world issues that need to be solved. And there's a market of impact investors out there with you know, and funds out there that are putting their money towards solving true world problems outside of just what's my ROI in 3 years or 5 years.
That's a really insightful answer. You mentioned your, let's say, work dynamic with your co-founder. Can you talk more about that? Give us some insights. What have you learned through that, let's say, partnership?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that I remember speaking or being involved with an event in Palo Alto in 2019, and it was set up by the Y Combinator folks. And I remember some things in our discussion with those folks there, where, you know, Y Combinator will typically not fund a startup unless they have a co-founder, if the CEO has a co-founder. And it I believe in that model, because the startup game and raising cap, and especially raising capital or building a business from scratch, it's a very lonely world. And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that happen day to day, and a lot happen at night as well. And you really need that dynamic duo relationship. You need that, you know, Batman and Batman type role, or Batman and Robin type role. To be able to just at times, you know, help plan for the business and get a second set of eyes on the strategy. But most often than not, you need that confidant to basically go to when it comes down to certain butterflies in your stomachs about decisions, or, you know, it needs to be more than just an advisory role. It needs to be somebody that has true skin in the game in what you're doing within the business. So having a co-founder, to me, is essential. I think from investors need to be leery in ways when they're about to invest in a company that is just a sole founder, unless it's their, you know, second, third, fourth time doing the business and they've had successes in the past. You'd want to de-risk the team by making sure that sole founder has a co-founder.
Excellent. There's this stigma that, like, some companies that are invested into sustainability are not as profitable, you know, but to your point, you talk a lot about that business development, that raising capital. And can you talk more about the business aspect of it while connecting it with, let's call it, the sustainable part?
Well, the stigma that the majority of companies that are focused on sustainability or social enterprise type companies do not have good financial planning is true, right? There's a lot of social impact ventures out there that fail because, and there's a lot of startups to begin with that just fail, right? But there's a lot more social enterprises that fail out there because they lead all with heart. Right? They all lead with heart. And they forget that even a not-for-profit still has to make revenue, right? So the mighty dollar still drives the business. It's still the bloodline of the business or the oxygen for the business. So if you forget, if you don't plan for the financials and how we're going to make revenue and how to price accordingly, you're not going to succeed or you're not going to have much runway. But sustainable enterprise companies social enterprise companies or sustainable companies that have a good balance of how they create impact, but also have a balance of how they create revenue and profits, will do really well. I actually have a book that's signed by E. Fryer Williams called Green Giants. And this has been like a Bible to us. And this basically talks about all the $1 billion companies out there that are sustainable and green that have hit $1 billion, right? The Chipotles, the Chick-fil-A's of the world, the Teslas, those are all sustainable companies that have hit the Green Giants mark. You just, as a sustainable company or as a social enterprise company, you just want to have a balance of heart and mind and financials.
Makes a lot of sense. For somebody starting out, maybe they're starting their own startup. What do you think are, if people are lacking ideas, what do you think are some things that could be solved, let's just say in the US right now, in terms of sustainability?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the best place to start really to me is look into the UN Sustainability Development Goals. The UN has done a really good job of like categorizing world issues, world problems are out there, from items like the environment or water scarcity to gender impact. I mean, it's all laid out there. And when you define one of those as your North Star, then you need to start looking into basically what part of, let's say, climate impact or life below water do I want to partake in? Is it providing clean water or is it growing seaweed? You know, so once you find that North Star, start coming down and figuring out what industry you want to partake in. And if that idea of yours for that particular industry has potential to be pivoted to other verticals within that North Star, then you know you have something really special, especially if you have also technology and IP that's defensible. Just because you have an IP, by the way, doesn't mean it's worth the while. If you have technology and IP that's defensible for that particular industry or industries that solves that SDG, you have something really, really special there and you should continue on. But you should never really just try to solve a problem that's just right in front of you because you don't really know the true depth of that problem. You know, world hunger is a problem that I hate to say it's going to be hard to really, really solve. But because it makes it really hard to really, really solve, there's multiple different verticals that you could partake in. Whether it's going to be vertical grow type of industries to better water to grow more nutritious food to, gosh, even like the GMO type stuff that's also built in there to seaweed, you know, seaweed farming. So find that big goal, that big, big hairy audacious goal and go after it.
I like that approach, finding the bigger picture and then going from top down to kind of know what to do on, let's say, daily basis or what to pursue further. Serge, I'd like to be respectful to your time and thank you for joining us today. This has been an awesome conversation. I hope our listeners enjoyed it as well. I wish you best of luck in the future with EcoSpears and everything else that you pursue. And thanks once again for joining Talking Impact Investing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for staying with us until the very end. You can stay up to date with the upcoming episodes by subscribing. And if you found any useful information, feel free to leave a 5-star review and follow Talking Impact Investing Podcast on social media.